Today's Shir Masechta Yevamos Daf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Beis Amud Beis at the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Michti. Our Mishnah spoke about the halacha that even though if somebody unfortunately passes away without any children, there is a mitzvah of Yibum Chalitza. The Torah Kedosha teaches us that if the widow of the individual passed away is a relative, an erva, to the brother who's supposed to do Yibam, so she is no longer a candidate for Yibam. She's no longer a candidate for Chalitza, as we've learned. And not only is she no longer a candidate for Yibam of Chalitza, even her tzara, her co-wife, is not a candidate for Yibam of Chalitza. And as we also learned in the Mishnah extensively, that continues to pass on for all the other brothers, tzaras tzara. Says the Gemara, where do we learn this halacha? Kula, the halacha that all these women are exempt from Yibum, we learned from the halacha of Machais Isha. Because the Pasuk says, as we're going to learn on the Gimel on the base, Visha lachois leisikach litzror legalis erva saleh b'chayel. And we learned from the word litzror that the erva and the tzaras erva are exempt from yibum and chalitza. So if that's the case, if we all learn it from the word that from achois isha, so ask the Gemara, listeni achois isha bereisha. So shouldn't achois isha been the first one to be taught? And Tosfos Yeshanim asks a question. But we have halacha in all areas of halacha. Then in mukdam and mocher, we don't follow any specific sequence. So why all of a sudden does the Gemara here ask we should follow a sequence? So he answers that, of course, we can't necessarily demand that the sequence be followed. But if there's a good reason for there to be a sequence, of course we should follow a sequence. And therefore the Gemara's question is, why over here, where it makes all the sense that a chayis isha should be mentioned first, why isn't mentioned? V'chitayma, if you'll want to answer, Tana Chumre Chumre Nafkut. The Mishnah is listing the various arayas in the order of severity. And furthermore, we know that the Torah does have four different types of ways of administering Mises Bezdin, Skila Sreifa Herig V'chenek. And our Mishnah will be following the opinion of Shimon, the Omar, that he says in Masechta Sanhedrin that Sreifa Chamura, that Sreifa burning is the most severe form of Mises Bezdin. And therefore, Bitoy is mentioned first, because the halach is that a Bitoy is chai, if somebody has relations, a Bitoy, he's chayiv sreifa. That's why we also continue mentioning bas bitoy, bas benoy, bas ishtoy, bas beno, or bas bitoy v'chamoysoy, eim chamoysoy v'eim chamov, because all of them, the mises bezdin for violating having relations with such a woman is sreifa. Says the Gemara, is hachi, if the reason we're mentioning the anybody who has a chiv sreifa first, for that represents the most severe aveira, so ask the Gemara, listen chamaisa bereisha. So then the mother-in-law should have been mentioned first. Because the chiv sreifa for these different women, ikka sreifa, but chamaisa ksiva, is actually mentioned by mother-in-law. Because the pasuk says, vishya sheyikachas isha vasima zimahi, beish yisroifu oisav esen. So we're using sreifa as the model, so then chamaisa should have been mentioned first. Void, and furthermore, asked the Gemara, Basa Chamoisoi, the next should have been mentioned, Lisni Kalosoi, the Basa Sreifa Skila, because after Sreifa, even Reb Shimon, who holds that Sreifa is the most severe form of Mises Bezdin, he will agree that after Sreifa comes Skila, and the punishment for having relations with a daughter-in-law is skila. So shouldn't the kalosoi be mentioned second? And Tosfos points out that the Gemara's question has to be understood. Because even if skila is the least less than the other forms of Mises Besdin. It's certainly more severe than Kares. And all the other Ervis mentioned in our Mishnah, there is no Chiv Mises Besdin, there's a Chiv Kares. So explains the Aruch HaNoir what the Gemara, that's exactly what the Gemara means to say. If we're going in the order of the severity of the punishment, the Gemara's question is, we ought to mention Kalosoi, which has a Mises Besdin, before the other ones that don't have a Mises Besdin. Elo, Bitoi, says the Gemara, the reason why Bitoi is mentioned first, Kivan the Asya Midrasha, the Alocha, that a daughter that's born from a woman to whom he wasn't married, that there's an Isser to live, to, if he lives with that woman, and there's a mitzvah, and there's an Einish for it, is not something that's explicit in the Torah, but rather it's expanded through a drasha. And anything that's learned through a drasha, chavivalei, is particularly beloved by the Tana. And I did that, so once we mention the chaysai, kula, so that's why she is mentioned first. Ask the Gemara, but kula drasha ninu. As we said at the beginning of the shir, this halacha, that if the sister-in-law that falls to Yibum is an erva, is learnt from a drasha, from the pasuk of Litzrar. So if we're saying that the Tana is mentioning something that we learn from a drasha first, we should have mentioned this halacha first, because that's something that we learn from a drasha. So as we said, the Torah does not explicitly say that one is not allowed to have relations with his daughter from a woman who he wasn't married to, from a woman who he violated or seduced. The Torah says, Ervas isho bita lai segala, espas benav espas bita lai sikach legalas ervasa, shareheina zimehi. But that's only a daughter from a woman whom you are married to. But that we know that the Torah says, you're not allowed to live with her daughter. The Isser also says, regarding your granddaughters, the pasuk says, "Eves bas binchay bas bitchalei segala arvason kervos chena." That comes to teach us that your granddaughter, no matter how she is your granddaughter, whether she's from your wife or whether she's a granddaughter from a woman who you violated, is also awesome. But the tyrant never speaks about a daughter from a woman that you violated or seduced. So, of course, the obvious question is, well, if you're usher in your granddaughter from such a woman, certainly you should be usher in the daughter from such a woman. Why would we need a pasuk? The answer, or why would we need a limud? The answer is, there's a halacha, ein masirim min adin, vein onshim min adin. Ein masirim min adin means that as much as we could achieve through a kal v'chomer, a halacha, we cannot rely on a kal v'chomer to establish a halacha. We have to have a pasuk, or gzeir shava. Similarly, ein onshim min adin. We can't give a punishment just based on a kal v'chomer. There has to be a halachic basis. There has to be a pasuk, a limud, to come to that. And therefore, since the Torah does not speak about a daughter from a woman to whom you were not married, how do we know that they're asur? Nay, answers the Gemara, the linyan yibam asyim midrasha, yes, the halacha of all the other arayas in the Torah are that there's no yibam by such women. We only know from a drasha. However, ikka usrayu, that one may not have relations with these women, the behedik sibahu, is mentioned explicitly in the Torah. However, bita, when we speak about a daughter from a woman who you weren't married to, that ikki isura, even the fact that you may not have relations with her, we only know from a drasha. Dama Rava Amarli Rav Yitzchak Bavdimi Asya, how do we know that the daughter from a woman that you weren't married to is Asur? We learn Exer Shava Heina Heina. Because as we said, the Torah, when it speaks about Bas Ishtoi, or her, your wife's daughters or granddaughters, the Torah uses the word Shara Heina Zimahi. And when the Torah speaks about your granddaughters, the Torah says the word Kervoscha Heina. So we connect them. And just like by your wife, it's not only your wife's granddaughters that you can't have relations with. It's your wife's daughters as well. So too will be the halacha by your children that it's not only your granddaughters that you may not have relation with, but your daughter as well. And now, how do we know that there's a chiyuv sreifa if somebody had relation with his own daughter? We learn from the following gzeirah shava. The pasuk says, "V'isha sheyikach es isha v'sima zimahem zimahi be'esh sreifa oisa v'esen v'lo siya zima b'soichacham." And then we learn gzeirah shava zima sima. By chamoisa it says zimahi. By his wife's daughter it says sharehena zimahi. So just like by your wife's daughter, if one had relations with her, the chiyuv misa would be a chiyuv sreifa. And now that we've learned your own daughter from that, so too we learn that she'll be, if you have relation with your own daughter, no matter how she's your daughter, either whether she's your wife's daughter or she's the daughter of a woman that you violated, there will also be a chiyuv sreifa. Ask the Gemara. So hashta da'amrit, now that we've established the kol emel sadasim b'drasha chavivallah, anything that's taught through a drasha is particularly important to the Tekama. So I was after Gemara, listen to Achayis Isha l'psayif. Why is Achayis Isha mentioned earlier in the Mishnah? It should be mentioned as the last. Because the only woman from the set of arayis that's mentioned in our Mishnah that's clear that we can't do yibam with is Achayis Isha. Because that's where the Torah says it. And all the other ones we learn from Achayis Isha. So we shouldn't Achayis Isha come last? Answers the Gemara. Perhaps correct. But either the Ayir B'Issa Achayisa, when we're speaking about relatives that are relatives based on siblings, Tan Achayis Ishta, we mention Achayis Ishta together with all the others. Says the Gemara, okay. So we want to group Erevus and the Mishnah in the logical groupings. So lesna kol hai babel b'soif. The entire group of anything that comes through siblings, achaisa, should be mentioned at the end. Says the Gemara, ella chomer chomer naked. The way the Gemara explains the Rosh is going back from everything we learned from now. The Gemara is going away from the concept of chomer chomer naked, that we're following what is more severe. The Gemara is moving away from the concept of Komis Da'asi B'drosh Chavivalei. We're moving away from all of those reasonings. And rather, the Gemara, the Mishnah, is grouping it in groups of relatives. Tana, first the Mishnah began, Wabitoi, Abas Bito, Abas Benoi, the Kroivei Atzmai. Those are my own blood relatives. I did Tana Shalosh Torahs L'matavda. And since the Mishnah mentioned the three generations, your daughter and your granddaughters, that are three generations from you. That's why the Mishnah continued, Tana Shalosh Toras L'mata Dida, three generations from your wife, Bas Ishtai, or Bas Pita, or Bas Bena. Furthermore, Vada Tana Shalosh Toras L'mata Dida, once you mention three generations from your wife, Tana Shalosh Toras L'mata Dida, we mention three generations up from your wife, which means Chamoisai, Ve'im Chamoisai, Ve'im Chamav. And that's why we mentioned that way. What about three generations up from him? We're only speaking about three generations up from your wife. The answer is, three generations up from you then can't fall to Yibam. Because if it's your mother, anybody who's your mother means she was an Ashes Aviv. So all the brothers can't have relations. What were all the examples we learned in the Mishnah? That this woman may be also to one of the brothers, but not to the other brothers. But if it's your mother, so then all of your brothers cannot have relations with that woman. Continues the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah mentions your sister and your mother's sister, that they too, kroive atzmai, are your relations. And once the Mishnah is speaking about relations from sisters, that's why the Mishnah also mentioned Achois Ishtoi. The Mishnah mentioned Achois Ishtoi. Ubedinhu, and continues the Mishnah, continues the Gemara, Ubedinhu, the Ligdom Elakaloisai. The next thing should have been mentioned, your daughter-in-law, Mikame Eishes Ochiv Shloyei Ba'alamai, before mentioning Eishes Ochiv Shloyei Ba'alamai, or similarly, Eishes Ochiv Mi'imai. The Halay Mishum Kervedid Hudei Sira. These other women are not people who you are related. They're people that are related to your brother. And the Mishnah, following groupings, should have certainly mentioned your relatives before you're mentioning your brother's relatives. Since we're talking about relations that are built on Achva, that's why Tana Eishes Achav Shalai Be'alamai. That's why the Mishnah first mentions Eishes Achav Shalai Be'alamai, even though she is not your relative. And afterwards, Hada Tana Kalasai, and then it mentions your daughter-in-law. Even though your daughter-in-law, Taisa says, should be mentioned first, because your daughter-in-law, who's married to your son, and the Gemara says, Barak Karev Da Achva, Barak Karev Da Vua, a son is considered an extension of the father. Since the son is considered an extension of the father, she's considered much more of your relative. Another pshat is this, the Einish is much more, even though we're moving away from that. The Ramban says, pshat in the Gemara's question, is Eishes Achav Shalai Ba'alamai is not a din in Erva. Eishes Achav Shalai Ba'alamai is a gzeiros akasev that she's exempt from Yibam. And therefore, she's not the same as all the others, but it's mentioned together because she's in the same category of Achva. Ask the Gemara another question. The Mishnah said, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Paitrus are the same, Vitzar the same, Min Chalitza Min Ayibam. Ask the Gemara, my ear is the ton of Paitrus. Why did the Mishnah use the word Paitrus? Shouldn't the Mishnah used a stronger word, Listni Aitrus? It should have said Aitrus, that they're not allowed to have, Yibam. Because there's no din of Yibam under such circumstances. And as we said previously in our previous year, they revert back to being considered Eishes Achiv. And Eishes Achiv is an Erva. Answers the Gemara, Itana Isris, if the Mishnah would have said the word Isris, Havimina Osla Yabim, that Yibam is indeed prohibited, Avamichlitz Chaltz, but Chalitza is permitted. Because Isris, only the Rishonim explained, can use by Yibam. What does that mean? If this woman is also to you, if she's still considered an erva to you, so then you're not allowed to have relations with her because it's Osir. You're having a relation with a woman who's an erva to you. But Chalitza, we can't use the word Eisreis, because even though Chalitza is not necessary, there's nothing inherently Osir about doing Chalitza with a woman who you don't have to do Chalitza. Since we want to learn that not only is Yibam Asr, but you shouldn't do Chalitza also, that's why we had to use the word Paitreis. So ask the Gemara, for Listni, so we should have learned Asura Lachnitz. We should have learned the word Asura Lachlitz, says the Gemara, as we just explained. My COVID, if you do Chalitza on a woman that you don't have to do Chalitza, you haven't done anything wrong. So that's why Alam Aloy, says the Gemara, so if you haven't done anything wrong, so why can't you do Chalitza? Answers the Gemara, the reason the Mishnah does not want that Chalitza should be done, because we're concerned, if we're going to allow Chalitza to be done, people are going to make the mistake that perhaps if Chalitza is done, she's a candidate for Yibam. And of course, as we're explaining, she actually is not a candidate for Yibam. And therefore, we want to avoid using that kind of language that can make that kind of mistake. And that's why the Mishnah said, Paitris Tarsay Min Chalitza Min Yibam. Says the Gemara that Kivan B'Makam Mitzvah Hu D'Yisir Tzara. Says the Gemara, since B'Makam Mitzvah Tzara is Asur, V'Shaloi B'Makam Mitzvah Shari, but when it's not in a Makam Mitzvah, it's Mutter, Shemachi Tani Paitris. In other words, if the Mishnah would have said that the Erva Iseris Tzarasai, we would think that the Erva is what causes the problem with the Tzara. And therefore, we would say that not only in a situation of Yibum is it Tzaras Erva Asur, we would say that even not in a Makam Mitzvah. That means, if there was a man married to my daughter, and to another woman, and that man divorced that woman, not my daughter, or that man died, may I marry the Tzara? The Gemara is saying we can make an argument that maybe not. If by Yibam, which is the subject of this Masechta, it's a mitzvah to do Yibam, we're learning that a tzara of a erev is asur. Certainly, in a case where she's not a makom mitzvah, it's a man that it's just a regular situation, I would make the argument that the tzara is asur. That's why the Mishnah teaches us the word peteris sarasa. By saying the word peteris, it means that there's no yibum if she's the tzara of a erva. And as we keep on explaining, the way to understand this is that a woman, a sister-in-law, is really an erva. She's an erva, eishasach. Just the Torah said that under certain circumstances, that iser is lifted in order to fulfill the mitzvah yibum. When there is no mitzvah yibum, the iser eishasach remains. But when it's not an eishasach, then there's no reason to say a tzara is asur. And that's why the Gemara's question, because there's nothing wrong with the chalitza. Why doesn't the Mishnah use the word oisris? And the question was that we should say that the chalitza is not just mutter, but it's asur. Because if not, somebody's going to think that if chalitza could be done, yibum could be done, because we're also going to make the mistake, explains the Gemara, that say that a tzaras erva is always asur. And that isn't true. A tzaras erva is not always asur. A tzaras erva is only asur in a situation of yibum, where she's my sister-in-law. Otherwise, it's not asur. But now I ask the Gemara a different question. On my eri the tani min chalitza min yibum. Why does the Mishnah mention chalitza before yibum? Listening min yibum l'chidei. And we should say that there's no yibum. And since there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. Answers the Gemara. Itana min yibum. If the Mishnah would only say min yibum, have a min michlitz chalitza. We would think that yibum, to allow him to have relations with this woman who's an erva, or this woman who's a tzaras erva, is asur. But chalitza should be mutter. Teaches us the Mishnah a very important rule. Kamash malon, kala oil liyibum, and a woman who's a candidate for yibum, oil chalitza is also a candidate for chalitza. In oil liyibum, but if a woman is not a candidate for yibum and oil chalitza, she's not a candidate for chalitza. And this is a critical halacha throughout the Mishnah. Throughout this Masechta. In other words, where does this have relevance? It has relevance to many, many halachas. One example that it has relevance to is that if somebody had two wives, and they're not related to the brothers, so the halacha is, you do yibum with one of the wives. There's only chiv to do yibum with one of the wives. Once you do yibum with one of the wives, the other wives are not candidates, certainly not for yibum, and certainly not for chalitza. The other halachas for what we're learning in our Masechta, in our sugyas, that if a woman can't have yibum because she's an erva, it affects that she can't have chalitza either. Another halacha. The halacha is that if a brother dies, his wife, and he leaves a wife who's certainly a candidate for yibum cannot be done for the first 3 months after the husband died. Because that's what we're going to learn extensively in our Masechta, is the concept of Avchana. Avchana is we have to wait for 3 months. And the reason we have to wait those 3 months, because if one of the brothers does Yibum with her and then she becomes pregnant, we're not going to know if the baby is a child of the first husband or a child of the second husband. So we wait for 3 months to be certain that she's not pregnant. Now, what about Chalitza? Chalitza, there's no relations. But we learn from here that kol she'eina oila liyibum, eina oila chalitza, just like she's not a candidate for yibum during those 3 months, so too is she not a candidate for chalitza either. Another example, a woman who's pregnant, her husband Rahman Slan died, and she's pregnant. So she can't have yibum. Hopefully the baby will be born, and the husband who died will have leftover children. On the other hand, maybe the baby won't make it. During that period, she can't have chalitza either. Because kol she'eina oila liyibum, eina oila b'chalitza. There are examples, that says the Rambam, on the other way. The Rambam wants to suggest that kol she'eina oila chalitza, if there's a woman who's not able to have chalitza, such a woman can't have Yibam either. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Rashi disagrees. Rashi says that the same halach, that's not true. A woman is not a candidate for Yibam, can't have Chalitza. But a woman who can't have Chalitza can have Yibam. Continues the Gemara. Velisni, but ask the Gemara at this point, Velisni, why don't we mention Menayibam Mechalitza? Inami Menchalitza L'chada. Why does the Mishnah mention Yibam first? Isn't the Yibam the primary mitzvah? Or ask the Gemara, the Mishnah should have mentioned Chalitza. And we'll learn that if she's exempt from Chalitza, she's certainly exempt from Yibam. Answers the Gemara, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Abba Shaul. Dama mitzvah Chalitza koydem is mitzvah Yibam. We're going to learn in our Masechta, the Machlokes of Chachamim Abba Shaul. Chacham hold that Chalitza, Yibam is the primary mitzvah, Chalitza is the backup mitzvah. Abba Shaul disagrees. And Abba Shaul holds that when a person does Yibam, only if he did Yibam with the purest of intention is the Yibam a valid Yibam. If it wasn't done with the proper intention, then it's not a valid Yibam. And therefore, says Abba Shaul, a person can never be sure of himself that he's doing the Yibam with the proper intention. Because he can't be certain that he's doing the Yibam with a proper intention, he shouldn't do it. He should do Chalitza. And the Ramban's opinion in explaining Abba Shaul's opinion is that if somebody did Yibam in a sister-in-law, in an Eishas Ach, without the proper intention, the child would be a Mamza Medaraisa. Most disagree with the Ramban. The Ritva and the Mukhe Yosef say he wouldn't be a Mamza Medaraisa, he would be a Mamza de Rabbonim. The Noi de Behuda says it depends. If he had a mixed intention, that he had intention to do the mitzvah, but he also had other intentions, then Abba Shaul will agree that the child is not a mamzer. But if the person had relations with his sister-in-law, and his entire kavana was only to just because he wants to have relations with her, and he wasn't thinking about a mitzvah at all, then Abba Shaul will hold that that the child is a mamzer. And because we're playing as we're explaining with fire, the Mishnah is teaching us, do Chalitza rather than do Yibam. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah said twice, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, 15 women. And the question is, why does Mishnah have to mention a number? Minyana Derusha L'Mutimai. What's the purpose of mentioning a number? And then, again, the Sefer, the Mishnah mentions a number. And again, the Gemara asks, Minyana the Sefer L'Mutimai. Why do we have to mention that at the Sefer again? Answers, the Gemara L'Muti D'Rav D'Rasi. One time, it's coming to teach us that we don't agree with Rav. The halacha is that if a wife of the brother who passed away was a Saita, the halacha is that she is not a candidate for Yibam. And according to Rav, because the halacha is a Saita, is also Labal or Labayal. The Saita is also to a husband. And since she wasn't allowed to continue living with her husband because she's a Saita, so says Rav that the halacha is that not only is she no longer a candidate for Yibam, but so too her tzara. Our Mishnah doesn't agree. Our Mishnah says that the Mishnah told us the number 15 to teach us that the Soita is not treated like an erva. And even though we could hold that the Soita herself, if the sister-in-law is a Soita, she's not a candidate for Yibam, it doesn't extend to the tzara Soita. Ravasi speaks about a tzara's idleness. An idleness is not a candidate for Yibam Mechalitza. Because the Torah in the Parashas Yibam says, V'hoya ha-bechor asher teled. The teled means that the woman who's getting Yibam is a woman who could have children. If she's an idleness who's unable to have children, she can't be a candidate for Yibam. And therefore, the question is, that Rav Asi holds that not only is she not a candidate for Yibam, but even her tzara is not a candidate for Yibam. Our Mishnah, by mentioning the number 15, is coming to teach us that only she is not a candidate, perhaps, but it doesn't extend to her tzara. And the Rishonim go on to explain, Tosfos discusses that we can't have the number 15 only mentioned once to exempt, to say that our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rav and Rav Asi, because these are two very distinct cases. And since they're very two distinct cases, they can't be connected and learned the same way. Says the Gemara, great. So now we've been able to understand why the Mishnah mentioned the number 15 to teach us these two halachas. But ask the Gemara, Rav and Rav Asi, who actually say that Tzaras Soita and Tzaras Ailness are also not candidates, so what are the numbers mentioned for? Lemutimai, says the Gemara, E Svir Lehadadi, if Rav and Rav Asi agree with each other, so now the fact that the Mishnah mentioned the number 15 twice, both times that were mentioned, need to teach us something. It's coming, Chada will come to teach us, Lemute Tzaras Vemenes. Shmuel teaches us that if somebody married two women, one is a woman whose Kedushin is only a Kedushin de Rabbanon, as we discussed in the previous year. If a woman doesn't have, if a girl doesn't have a father, or even as we explained, she has a father, but a father married her off, and that marriage terminated, so she's considered Yisoy Mechaya off. So if she gets married, her Kedusha are only Kedusha de Rabbanon, and until she becomes a Gedoyla, she could be a man. She could annul that marriage. And this man has two wives. One wife is a girl who's still a candidate for Miyun, and another wife. And this man died without children, and now these two women fall to one of the brothers for Yibam. So she could do Miyun by not only in her to her husband, but she could do Miyun to her brother-in-law. And if she did Miyun in her brother-in-law, the halacha is that her co-wife also is not a candidate for Yibum and Chalitza, because people are going to make the mistake and think that a Tzaras Erva is Mutter in Yibum and Chalitza. But since it's just a Gzeira, it's not that she can't have Yibum, she'll have to have Chalitza. So she isn't similar to all the cases of our Mishnah, because all the women of our Mishnah are not candidates, as we've been discussing, not for Yibum and not for Chalitza. Here, there won't be a candidate for she won't be a candidate for Yibum, but she'll be a candidate for Chalitza. For Chada, Lemuti Tzaras Machzer Shusasoi. The halach is that if somebody divorces his wife and she marries somebody else, he may not remarry her. And if somebody took back his wife, so now he has two wives. The wife that he shouldn't have taken back, his original wife who got remarried and then divorced and he took her back, and she has a tzara. The halacha is that these wives are not candidates for Yibum, but they are candidates for Chalitza. And that's what our Mishnah is coming to say, that they're not included in the group of our Mishnah that are not candidates, not for Yibum, not Chalitza. Says the Gemara, V'ilay Sforelei La'adadi, if Rav holds that a tzaras Saita is exempt, but not a tzaras islandess, and if Rav Asi holds a tzaras islandess is exempt, but not a tzaras Saita, Chodol Mutid Chavrei, one will be coming to the number, one time the number is going to be mentioned is to exclude what the other's colleague mentioned, for Chodol Mutid, Oy Tzaras Mamas, Oy Tzaras Machzer Rishosai. But now I ask the Gemara, but according to Rav, the Rav extends the din of our Mishnah to a Tzaras Saita. And according to Rav Asi, who extends the din of our Mishnah to a Tzaras Ailness, so why didn't, according to them, didn't our Mishnah mention these cases? Says the Gemara, because even if they hold that they're exempt from Tzara, from the dinner, that not only are they exempt from Yibam Chalitza, but even that Tzara is exempt from Yibam Chalitza, it doesn't extend that far to Tzara's Tzara. And therefore, our Mishnah, we're speaking about cases, as we learned when we learned the Mishnah our previous year, that the Tzara is exempt and the Tzara's Tzara isn't exempt. Since in these cases, even Rav and Rav Asi will agree that it doesn't extend to Tzara's Tzara, it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, that all these women that are mentioned in our Mishnah, they and the Tzara'seim, the Tzara'seim, are part of the Chalitzim and the Yibam. But ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, From where do we indeed know this halacha? Answers the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says, "Isha pasuk that we've quoted previously, Isha alachos le'sikach litzroys legalis arvasa aleh b'chayel aleh matam leimer." What do we learn from the word aleh? Lefisha nem yivama yov aleh, that the Torah says that the mitzvah of Yibin should take place. Shemayna, we would assume, afil ba'achs mikol arayis amuris b'toyra, even a situation where a Yivama who fell to the brother is an erva, there should still be a din of Yibam. Nema kan aleh, v'nema aleh, the Torah says the word aleh, ma'alahal b'makam mitzvah, the Torah says, the Torah is speaking about situation of Yibam. Afkan is talking about Makam Mitzvah, that when the Torah says you're not out of relations with these various arayas, it's even B'Makam Mitzvah, and the Torah says, V'loy Sikach. Ask the Gemara, it continues the Braisa, Enli Ella, he, we will only know that the actual Erva is not going to be a candidate for Yibam. Minayin, Tzorasa Minayin, how do we know that this extends to the Tzorah as well? Tamalaymer, the word Litzror, that it goes even further. Enli al tzarasa, continues the Braisa. We only know about tzarasa. Tzaras, tzaras, minayin. How do we know we keep on extending it to a tzaras, tzaras as well? Tamalaymer, litzrar, v'loy lotzur. The Torah says litzrar, but the Torah could have just said lotzur, but the Torah says litzrar, that's why it's usur. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks a fundamental question. If a woman is not a candidate for Yibam, as we keep on repeating in our shiurim, she reverts back to the category of an eishes ach. Because the only reason that there's no chiv of Yibam, there is a chiv of Yibam, even though she's your sister-in-law, and she's therefore an erva to you, she's an eishes ach, because the mitzvah of Yibam supersedes that category of being an eishes ach. But once there's no mitzvah Yibam, she reverts back to being an erva of eishes ach. So of course, if she reverts back to being an erva eishes ach, so her tzara is going to be the tzara of an erva. So Rabbi Chaim Briska, that's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's question. So Rabbi Chaim Briska, to answer that question, says there are different degrees in erva. There's a difference between a woman who's an erva because she herself is an erva, only because she became an erva as a derivative of being a co-wife of somebody who's an erva. And therefore, even though Reb Chaim certainly agrees that she's considered an eishes ach, but what I think Reb Chaim means to say, she's a weaker eishes ach. Because she's only an eishes ach, she only gets that category because she happened to be the co-wife of an erva. And since she's a weakened erva, maybe that type of an erva doesn't have the ability to create that hot sorrow, should not be a candidate for Yibam Mechalitza. That's why we need a pasuk. Another pshat that I think is what Rav Shimon Shkop means to say is, yes, a man died, a brother died with no children, and he left two wives. One wife is an erva to the brother, and the other wife is a tzara. So what did we learn? That brother cannot do yibam in either of the two wives, certainly not in the wife who is an erva to him, and not to the tzara. So what happens now? What's the case of Tzara's Tzara? This wife, the co-wife, married one of the other brothers. And that brother died without children. Says of Shimon Shkop, when she's falling to Yibam now, she's not falling to Yibam because of the first marriage. We're in the first marriage, as we explain, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked, she retains the name of being an Eishes Ach. She's falling to Yibam because of the second marriage. And the second marriage, there's no erva. With the next brother, there's no erva situation. And therefore, what happened in the past, maybe we should consider immaterial. That's why the Torah had to add the word litzror, that she doesn't lose that category of being an erva. And it continues that she doesn't become a candidate for Yibam, and she therefore affects her tzor as well. But all this pasuk was mentioned by Chayis Isha. So ask the Braisa, Enlai al Chayis Isha. Maybe this then only applies by an Chayis Isha. Shar Arayis Minayin. How does we know that it applies by different Arayis as well? Amrit. We make the following limud. Ma Chayis Isha Michedes, she erva. That a Chayis Isha is an erva where somebody has relations with his Chayis Isha. Chayovan Azodayne Kairis, Vashigasa Chattis, Vasur Le Yubim, Af kol she erva, any situation where a woman who falls to yibum is an erva to you, the chayiv as a dinah karis, and if you have deliberate relations with your chayiv karis, and if you did a relation with a shagi chatis, asur liyabim. Continues the brisa, only ella hein, tzarasei minayim. How do we know that this is the halacha by the source of all the various erva? Says the brisa, amrit. Just like by Chais Isha, it doesn't only affect her, it affects her tzara. So too, by all ervas, it doesn't only affect the erva herself, it affects her co-wife as well. And this is the basis that we've learned for the din of our Mishnah, the Chamesh Asher Noshim Paitut Sarasayim, the Tzara Sarasayim and Chalitzim and Ayivim at Saifa Oilam. Continues the Braisa, Yochash Neimarba Av Sheish Arayis Chamurus Meila. Maybe we should include even six Arayis that are even more serious, who are Imai, his mother, Eishas Aviv, Achois Aviv, Achoisimi Aviv, Eishas Achi Aviv, Eishas Achimi Aviv, Sheish Leibonim. They're even more serious because the women in our Mishnah, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, could be women that are also to one brother, but not to the other brothers. These women that I just identified are also to all the brothers equally. And therefore, the halacha should be Amrit. And that any person should never be allowed to marry the tzara of one of these women, even in not in the case of Yibam, Amrit. Machos isha michedeshi erva, v'cheyovan azodon akaris, v'shigos achatas, v'efshel enos l'sharachim, she can't marry this brother, but she can marry one of the other brothers. V'sur l'yibam, v'tzeros asura, af kol she at erva, v'cheyovan azodon akaris, v'shigos achatas, v'efshel enos l'char cherim, asura l'yovam, tzeros asura, the brother is can't marry, can't do yibum the tzara. Yotze sheis arayis chamurus me'ela. Ha'ali efshel nasim achim. Since they can't marry any of the brothers that we just explained, therefore the halacha is tzara same term. Ain't tzara, said the gemara, because ain't tzara elam ach. The halacha of a tzara is only in a case where there's a yibum chiyuv, and since there's no chiyuv of yibum, it extends to the tzara. But if when it's not that situation, there's no reason to say that the tzara is asur. Ask the Gemara. So we've explained in this brisa how there's no chiv of yibum on the erva on the tzara. That's only the lav. As harash shemanu oynish minayim. How do we know that if somebody has relations in the does yibum with one of these women, even though the Torah said you shouldn't, it's considered a full-fledged aveira, as if you had relations with this woman who's an error for you, and the onus you get then applies here as well. The Torah reverts them back to the isser of erva that applies to these women. They're considered full-fledged erva. So our Mishnah discussed the situation that if you can't do yibum, you can't do chalitza. The question is that we know there's a Chayim Derbeinu Gershom. The Chayim Derbeinu Gershom says that a man is not allowed to marry two women. So the question is, if a man is already married, and then his brother unfortunately dies without children, how could his wife be, his wife is not a candidate for yibum, because you're not allowed to marry two wives. And we're learning in our shir that kol she'ein oyle liyibum, so she can't be a category for chalitza either. So what will be with this woman? So some say that the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom was said, so the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom was not said in those circumstances. In other words, the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom was only said in a place where a man wants to marry a second woman. But when he doesn't want to marry, when he's not interested in marrying a second woman, it's when the Torah forces him to marry a second woman because of the mitzvah of Yibum. There, the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom doesn't apply. But others, in fact, Divrei Chaim and Avnei Nezer actually say, because of this question, that let's say, Rachman Litzlan, a brother dies without any children, and he left over two brothers, and one brother is married, and for him to do Yibum Mechalitza with his sister-in-law would be, we have the issue of the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, and there's another brother who's not married. Certainly the brother who is obligated, who's single, should be the one to do the Chalitza. Because you don't have a problem by that brother of Kol She'ena Oyla Yibum, Ena Oyla Chalitza. Because he could technically do Yibum since he's a single individual, and therefore he's the one that should do the Chalitza.